From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Tens of thousands of people marched to the Turkish consulate in Los Angeles on Wednesday, April 24th, the day that Armenians commemorate the 104th anniversary of the genocide. The yearly March for Justice is organized by LA's Armenian community, the largest group of Armenians outside Armenia. And this year, as in the past, marchers demanded a recognition from Turkey of the genocide and its role. The Armenian Genocide is the massacre of 1.5 million Armenians at the hands of Turkish forces in 1915. The use of the term genocide is highly controversial for Turkey, which has denied its role. But naming the mass killings as a genocide has been a very emotional issue for the Armenian community, both inside Armenia and in the diaspora. Many countries the world over have already done so, and so have many U.S. states. But so far, the United States as a whole has yet to formally recognize the Armenian genocide. My guest is Peter Balakian. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, author of several poetry collections, and the author of the prize-winning 2003 book, The Burning Tigris, The Armenian Genocide and America's Response. He's also professor in humanities and professor of English at Colgate University. In addition to winning a Pulitzer, he is the recipient of many awards and prizes and civic citations, including a Presidential Medal and a Guggenheim Fellowship, a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship, and much more. It's an honor to have you on, Peter.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So this is a day, of course, the 24th of April, that every year those of us in Los Angeles, we'll see signs popping up at stores that say to commemorate the genocide, this establishment will be closed on April 24th. It looms large for those living among so many Armenians, but in the rest of the country, it's not necessarily something Americans think about very much. How would you like the United States and Americans as a whole to think about this incredible massacre, this genocide that took place more than 100 years ago?
Well, you know, I think among the significant things about this historical event, which is called in the post-1940 period Armenian genocide, it's called genocide because Raphael Lemkin, the founder and father and inventor of the notion of genocide as a crime in international law, used the term for the Armenian massacres of 1915. So the Armenian genocide, I think every citizen who's interested in history and human rights should understand that this historical event commenced the modern era of genocide, that is, the practice of genocidal mass killing with the modern apparatus of state dimensions, military, bureaucracy, communications, technology, and political ideology, and the apparatus of political legislation. So it's an important event. It started something new. Not that genocide is new. Genocide is as old as human history, but the practice in the modern form began with the Ottoman Turkish government's extermination plan for its Christian Armenian population in 1915. And before it was over, the other Christian minority populations, the Greeks and the Assyrians, would also be liquidated. So it's an important event historically. It's also important for Americans, I think, in American history, because it generated such an enormous human rights rescue and relief movement, both in grassroots America and among a whole leadership of wealthy philanthropists and relief organizations. So the Armenian Genocide Rescue and Relief Movement is really a quite interesting and significant chapter in American foreign diplomatic cultural history, I would say.
Today, we have an interesting moment politically because, unfortunately, of course, this idea of recognizing the genocide becomes a political question, has been a political question that has depended on U.S.-Turkey relations. Many point out that U.S.-Turkey relations over the past year or two have deteriorated, which may mean that the U.S. might actually recognize the genocide formally. What do you think will happen? And should it really depend on such political questions?
Well, it is a curious and bizarre phenomenon in a way, having studied this phenomenon from its incipience. It's strange that the U.S. State Department, because that's where this issue is mostly an issue, that the State Department is so afraid of Turkey. When I understand, I think we all understand in the realpolitik sense that the U.S. and Turkey do business, and much of it is military business. But it's strange given the fact that every major European country has had the integrity to articulate a fundamental recognition of this event as an important moral event in modern history. And I think that these recognitions are calls to the Turkish state to stop its campaign of falsification and denial. Now, the U.S. government hasn't been able to do this. And the degree of cowardice here, in some sense, is perplexing. Today in France, that is on April 24 in France, it is a national day of commemoration. So how can there be such a big gap between the French government's passionate embrace of the moral and ethical importance of this event by declaring a national day of remembrance, and the cowardice of the U.S. government, which remains in flight and fright of Ankara's, I think, very hollow threats. It takes moral leadership, especially in the level of at the level of the State Department. And some kind of ethical courage to say it's time to stop being pushed around by a country which sadly and tragically has one of the worst human rights records in the world today and has so for the past decades.
There has been in the past and again is this year legislation in both houses of Congress recognizing, calling on the U.S. to recognize the genocide. There have been over 100 lawmakers in the House and the Senate that have signed on to it. And there is some pressure from Donald Trump's evangelical base to push him because, of course, unfortunately, again, it gets politicized. They see a massacre of Christians as somehow, recognizing that as being part of their political work. So any sense that this piece of legislation could go anywhere this year?
Well, again, I want to emphasize this to our viewers and listeners that the legislators have been in the right place on this issue for a while now. There has been a lot of clarity and understanding of the record, the historical record of the Turkish organized plan to exterminate the Armenian population of Turkey in 1915. The problem, I think the legislators will behave with ethics and knowledge. The problem is how to get the State Department to drop its fear and cowardice card. And, that's a tough one. President Obama did more for the recognition of the Armenian genocide than any president in American history.
And
he made the most eloquent and edgy statements about this history. And he even made them in Turkey. He made them in the Turkish parliament. And he didn't use the word genocide in his April 24 statement only because, again, the State Department twisted his arm. And it's too bad that he assented to that twisting. But he went a long way. And it shows you the power of the State Department on this. I don't know why those people can't, drop it on this one. That is, drop the cowardice card and just do what the rest of the advanced nations of the world, whatever that means. I mean, enlightened nations of the world from Lebanon to South America to Europe have done. I think so. So we've got to solve it in the State Department. I think the legislative resolutions are good ones, and they would go if State Department would free up the space.
I want to dig a little bit into history, because of course today we have this some relevance to this idea of accepting refugees. How did the U.S. respond when the exodus of survivors of the genocide made their way to American shores?
You know, I'll go all the way back on this history now to the 1890s, when the first waves of massacre happened under the reign of Abdulhamid II. U.S. relief and rescue energy was quite impressive. It engendered national movements, and Clara Barton took the Red Cross for the first time out of the United States to do relief work in the wake of the Armenian massacres of the 90s. During the teens, similarly, there was an enormous amount of energy spent on rescue and relief. More than the equivalent of $1.3 billion was raised during this period. After the war, Armenians were welcomed in to the U.S. as refugees. You know, there was in the mid-1920s one of those moments of isolationist scare, and there were some gates put up for refugees and immigrants in the mid-1920s. Armenians fared well, and of course, by contrast to today's horrendous, I think, betrayal of U.S. humanitarian values and democratic values of inclusivity and the very notion of the United States as a nation of extraordinary combinations and ranges of ethnic groups from around the world. This is one of the things that gives the U.S. Much of its unique characteristic. To see these things reversed and attacked and undermined by the benighted nativism of Trumpism is distressing. You know, it's an assault on American core values.
How large does the genocide loom within Armenian American immigrant culture? And of course, there's many wave of immigrants or refugees, certainly first, second, third generations. And I imagine that those survivors of the genocide are probably no longer with us. It's happened over 100 years ago, but I recall when I attended the 100th anniversary commemorations in Glendale here in Southern California 4 years ago, there were, people in wheelchairs who had memories as children and others who carried photographs of their ancestors. Is this still an issue that looms large culturally for the community?
I think it is a defining issue for Armenians worldwide. The magnitude of the extermination, of the genocide, the significance of it as an event that's inaugurated a piece of the modern era of mass killing, and then the enormous wound of no reconciliation, no reparations, no repair, no acknowledgement, no apology from the perpetrator legacy governments is something that's very difficult to absorb. And it re-traumatizes the Armenian American population again and again. The Turkish state is locked in a kind of, extreme nationalist denialism about many of its events of criminal dimension. The Armenian genocide is one of them. And again, the genocides of the Greeks and the Assyrians of Turkey, these are significant paradigm-changing events for that nation's history. And as President Obama said to the Turkish parliamentarians face-to-face in 2009, he said, An unresolved history is too big a burden for any nation to carry. You must deal with the events of 1915 properly. I think he put it well. I think I think the Turkish nation has to figure out how to deal with its criminal past. But until it does, Armenian communities worldwide, including all of the generations of ethnic Armenians in America, American Armenians, Armenian Americans, are engaged in what they see as a social justice and moral struggle for truth and some modicum of repair.
Well, finally, Peter, I'm wondering whether you think that Armenian Americans are organizing politically around this issue in a way that can, you know, push for that, at least the U.S. government to recognize it, you know, and setting aside Turkey's intransigence on this issue. Do you think that there is a strong organizing that includes demand for recognition, but also maybe has a broader issue connecting with other communities, reflecting on the issues we talked about, how the U.S. is going against its own stated values about how it's treating refugees? What would you like to see, in other words, happen around organizing politically for this issue?
Well, I do think, just to follow up on some of the things you just noted, I do think that in the array of resolutions in the 21st century, all of them carry a sense of universal human rights concerns. I don't have all these resolutions in front of me and I can't quote them precisely, but they reach out to Rwanda and Darfur, and they reach out to the state of genocidal practice today. Those resolutions do make the connections between these events. And I think that's an important, positioning for Armenian community activists and thinkers. I think that the U.S. State Department has to deal with this history properly. However, I don't want to over, and you know, I say this as somebody who is, of course, who has worked for proper acknowledgement of history in this country for decades in my own work, but I don't want to over fetishize the congressional resolution. I mean, it should be done just because it's an ethical fact, and we should have the courage as the most powerful nation in the world to do it. However, there's a lot of good news if you ask about, you know, what Armenians do when they organize and see themselves as players in an American civic arena, that the expansion of education on the Armenian genocide in the last 25 years has been really impressive. This history is taught in high schools and universities and colleges around the nation as it never has been. The amount of scholarship on the Armenian genocide is quite extraordinary. New books are coming out every few months over the past years. This year, there's a group of important books. I don't have all the titles perfectly, so I don't want to misadvertise them, but there's a book on Talat Pasha and the Turkish state. There's another book on the genocides of all Christian communities that just came out. And Taner Akçam has an extraordinary new book, the Turkish historian, on the importance of certain documents that are incontrovertible in the documentation of the genocide. So the scholarship has been very impressive. Education is expanding and growing all the time. The moral leadership has to now catch up with reality, and it is frustrating, but it will catch up. It will catch up.
Well, Peter, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for devoting time to this reflection on this important day, April 24 of 2019. I'm grateful.
Thank you again. My guest has been Peter Balakian, Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, author of several poetry collections. His 2003 book was called The Burning Tigris, The Armenian Genocide and America's Response. He's also a professor of humanities and professor of English at Colgate University. And we've been talking about the 140th 4th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.